postcards. Where are we off to?
Well, no, we're going to East Timor this weekend. And I think, I mean, Australians would know a lot about East Timor, I believe. I mean, the relationship between Australians and East Timorese is quite strong and tight.
Oh, there's a lot of interest, of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's something you've been aware of, I suppose, since you've been here looking and seeing how much interest there is expected, shown in it. There's an affinity. It's not an English-speaking country, but at the same time, Australians feel a real connection to it.
That's right.
What's attracted you to look at it? Particularly for this week.
But look, this week I spoke to a very, very interesting lady called Karina Kutz. She's from Care Australia. And East Timor is her first post overseas.
Oh, it's the first time she's been sent over.
That's right. That's right. And
she's fresh. She's excited.
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, she's had many challenges, but I bet lots of fun, and she's learning a lot about it. But look, she's telling us here in this postcard about her experience and her challenges, during her first time, during her first post in East Timor.
I arrived in Dili at the beginning of January this year in 2007, and at that stage there was quite a lot of unrest. There was fighting every day and every night, and it was a challenge for me. It was the first time I'd actually lived in a developing country. I'd never been to a place that had a UN mission and had international security forces here, so it was eye-opening to say the least.
It's quite a big thing, I guess, to have your first post in a country like East Timor, especially during those times.
Definitely, yeah. I think I probably worried my parents a little bit with the decision to come here. But for me, it is a fascinating place because it's not only a country with tremendous development issues. There's also been a humanitarian emergency here, and there's been some political instability for quite a long time. So I wanted to come to a place that would benefit from the skills that I had to transfer. But obviously first, I'm learning so much myself. So I'll be here for at least a year and a half, and I expect to learn a lot from the local people here.
So you arrived to East Timor in January. What was your first major project there?
My job basically is to promote the work of Care in East Timor. So originally I started visiting the projects in Dili and in the districts. At that time there was a lot of focus on the displaced people in camps around Dili, so I spent a bit of time talking to people who had left their homes and fled to camps for safety. They'd actually fled more than 6 months earlier, and still we have a population in Dili of displaced people who are living in camps. However, what I'm seeing now is that there's a lot of hope. The situation is much less tense and people are returning home in large numbers.
But back in January, was it a bit of a cultural shock, I guess, for you to witness this for the first time?
Definitely. It was a big culture shock to come here. Even though I've travelled extensively in developing countries, East Timor is really unlike any other country I've been to before. And I think one of the major things was the amount of trauma that the population has gone through in very recent history. And that certainly has struck me, that everybody you meet has had significant trauma in their lives and have fought for so long for independence, and now things are not going so well. So it's a mixture of being overwhelmed by the resilience of people and also feeling for them because they're quite impatient for things to improve.
In a short time after you've arrived, I understand that you had to come back to Australia because the situation got too dangerous.
That's right. Well, I was working for Care in Australia for 3 years, but my position here is voluntary through an AusAid-funded program called VITA. So when the situation became quite tense in early March, all of the Australian volunteers were evacuated.
How did you feel? Were you scared?
No, not at all. No, I didn't feel scared. In fact, I really didn't want to leave, and I felt like I was abandoning people that I'd recently met and become friends with. And my job is to you know, to basically witness what's going on and to tell Australians what's happening here. So I felt disappointed that I had to leave at that stage, but I'm very happy to be back.
So, but it took you around about 6 months to come back?
I think basically it was just a little bit of trepidation about the elections that have recently been held here. In fact, it's been very, very calm since that one weekend in March. In fact, probably calmer than it was in January and February when I was living here. But it was unpredictable because there are elections during these last 6 months. So now that things have resolved in terms of the political scene, it's actually much calmer and much less tense here.
So during those months when you were back in Australia, were you anxious to come back?
Definitely, yes. I was very anxious to come back because Timor is a place that there is something about it that's almost, it's quite a magical place, and I'm not sure whether it's because of the personalities of the people here or the amount of suffering they've gone through and how they've been so resilient throughout that, but I know that many people that I've met here as expats have always come back because there's something very special about this place.
Addictive.
And it's not that we come here to save the Timorese people. Basically, we work very, very collaboratively with Timorese people to address the needs that they identify. I must say I'm very impressed by the people that I've met in East Timor. At the height of the crisis in the middle of last year, there were around 140,000 people who were displaced from their homes and living in tents around Dili. Now, the numbers are a little bit difficult to ascertain, but figures are around 60,000 if you're looking at food distribution to the IDP camps in Dili. And there is going to be a formal registration in October by the government and NGOs that will actually ascertain the exact number of IDPs. This is a situation that is unlike any other situation that I've ever heard of working for care. Usually in camps with displaced people, we call them internally displaced people, IDPs, usually they're run by NGOs or other organisations. In this case, people fled to the people that they trusted most. So they went to the churches and they went to schools, seminaries. The people who are running the IDP camps are people who have not had any experience running camps for people who have had to leave their homes. And what CARE is doing is being an intermediary between the camp managers, the nuns and the priests and the teachers and the government and other NGO working groups to make sure that the populations of the camps get the things that they need, water and sanitation and food and so on.
CARE is involved with a whole range of different very interesting projects, one in which you've written about very recently. That's to do with the letters.
That's exactly right. We have a very well-known project called the Lafayette Magazine, which is the only magazine in the country that's written in the national language of Tetum, and it's for children up to the age of around 14. It goes to every single child up to that age group around the country in 13 districts, and CARE distributes that. As an addition, we've started a project where children can correspond with each other from different parts of the country. So CARE is facilitating a kind of postal service where children from different primary schools can write to each other and express what they feel about anything really, the conflict, their life, what life is like in their part of East Timor. And in that way, we're really bridging divides, which has been one of the causes of the conflict in recent times.
In Australia, though, for example, or other countries around the world, it'll be easy to just pick up the phone and call a friend, you know, in the other side of the world even, or just connect to the internet and participate in a chat room. But it's not the case in East Timor, isn't it? It's a bit more complicated to communicate with people from other regions of the same country.
Communication is difficult here. The infrastructure is really not in place, and also the poverty level is high, so people don't have personal computers and they don't have access to email. So So through letters, the children can correspond with each other, and they wait eagerly for the next letter that comes through one of the care field staff.
So tell me, care field staff, they actually deliver letters from one region to another?
That's right. We have 13 field staff for Lafayette magazine, which is the national language magazine, which is also now part of the national curriculum. And they also deliver and collect letters in each of the 13 districts of East Timor. They come back to Dili and then they would swap the letters and then deliver to the recipients in the district that they're responsible for.
How hard is it to deliver letters from one region to another?
Well, Dili is a very mountainous country and the terrain is not always easy to traverse. There's a definite wet season as well, which makes it difficult. There are often landslides, but the staff use motorbikes and they traverse the most, you know, what you would think was quite inaccessible roads to deliver the letters. So it's very important that 5 times a year that the Lafayette magazine goes out to schools that care delivers to. At the same time, we also send the pen pal letters with those motorbike drivers, the care field staff.
How important is it for the children themselves to be able to communicate with kids in the same age in other parts of the country?
I think it's fantastic. The opportunity to communicate between children in different parts of the country is just an amazing thing for the kids here. Often they feel isolated being in a certain part of the country, especially if they have been in a camp for a displaced people, for example. With being able to write and receive letters, they get a sense of life in another area of Dili, and I think in terms of education and peace building and an understanding of the different cultures throughout the country, it's invaluable, and I know the kids are extremely excited every time the letters are delivered.
So are you able to share with us the content of one of these letters? I mean, what do they discuss?
I spoke to a little boy called Anno who told me that he wrote to his pen pal about school and life in Dili and, you know, the games that he used to, you know, he likes to play with his friends. So it's just basically talking about daily life, you know, his family, how many brothers and sisters he has, the situation in Dili, and he asked his friend in Akusi, which is another district, what the situation was like there and how life was like there. So it's really sort of a knowledge-building thing. The kids are very curious about how other children live in different parts of the country.
And thanks to Hagar Cohen for that postcard from East Timor.